time to say hello to Terry Flanagan now, who's at his home in Dublin 15. And this week, it's all about the Mermaid's Purse. Terry!
Yes, Derek. I was down in County Cork recently to meet up with Dr. Danielle Orrell. Danielle is a marine biologist working in UCC, and she's asking the public to help her locate mermaid's purses along the south coast in places like Cork and Kerry. If you've ever been beachcombing or just walking along the beach, you've probably wondered what those little black or brown pouches are that wash up on the strand line. They're sometimes mistaken for seaweed, but they are actually designed to protect baby sharks and rays. And one of these species is the flapper skate. Now, flapper skates are rare animals. They were once a common fish species in the North Atlantic, but now only a small population remains in Ireland and the northwest of Scotland. Believe it or not, these rare fish, they actually live longer than humans, around 100 years. And females breed every second year, often laying as much as 40 eggs that take over 12 months to hatch.
Wow.
And Danielle is urging the public to help her find these mermaid purses that often wash up on the beaches after the newborns hatch from them.
Terry, would you like to come and take a look at the specimens we have here today?
Wow, these are mermaid's purses. I've seen some of them like these small ones, but not those bigger ones. Now, explain to me, what exactly is a mermaid's purse?
So a mermaid's purse, these are eggs laid by different species of sharks and skates. So
okay. What's the difference between a shark and a skate then?
Great question. So they're in the same group or your same family. We have sharks, skates and rays. And some of our sharks lay eggs and some of them don't. And some of our skates lay eggs. So the difference between your rays and skates is rays produce live young, whereas our skates lay eggs like our mermaid's purses.
Okay. Now these mermaid's purses, I presume, are totally empty now.
They are, yep. So these washed up on beaches local to Cork, where we're based over at UCC.
Yeah.
And the animal inside these, the eggs are really diverse. You can actually tell which type or species of animal this came from based on what your purse looks like.
Okay, so if I look at this one here, I'm just going to take this one out here. This is what I would have come across, say, on the beaches in on Dublin. What exactly is that?
So what you're describing and holding in your hand there is one of our shark eggs. So right. We have 71 different types or species of shark skates and rays in Irish waters. And of these, 39 lay mermaid's purses, or your right. Eggs. So the one you have here are shark eggs. You can tell them apart because they have these long, curly tendrils at each end.
And what are they used for, those tendrils?
That's a great question. So they're actually used to hold on to different substrate. So, for example, your kelp or your seaweeds, and anchor them in place. So the... For this example we have here is a bullhus.
Right.
It's a really big type of dogfish that many might encounter when they're angling. So these curly tendrils, the shark will come in and the female will circle your seaweed and lay this amongst the weed to keep it safe as the animal matures.
So she creates the purse first, is that right? And
yep.
Then places the egg in it.
Yep. So she, inside this case that I have in my hand here, we would have a single embryo, so a single baby that would mature. And she would lay this, and over the course of a few months, it can be 3 to 18 months, depending on what species we have here, that animal would develop. And when it gets closer to hatching, it will start beating its tail, so our skate or our shark tail. And this will help provide oxygen to the egg before the egg opens at one of the ends and the animal is free.
And all this time, that purse is underwater.
100% correct, yep. So it could be down there for as long as 18 months with our flapper skate, which is our longest or slowest growing within our egg case. And these egg cases are kind of like leathery. They blend in really well with your kelp or your seaweed when you're walking on the beach. So folks may well have seen these, like you have. And then we have our skate eggs. So
now this one is different because it doesn't have the string at the end of it and it's totally black.
So our skate eggs, like our shark eggs, range in colour from our light brown hues to our really dark colours or our black colours. And the difference is that our skate eggs are typically rectangular in shape and they have a horn at each end or each corner. And these are kind of like Batman horns, as I like
yeah.
to say.
That's what they look like.
So that's used to nestle it amongst the rocks or cobbles and keep it in place so it doesn't float away. And the skate will develop just like our shark would, with a single animal in each purse. And they will then nibble their way out and be free. And these eggs wash up as the case is empty, so it's really light and it floats along the side.
You've been doing postdoctoral research on these skates. I presume that gives you an idea as to the numbers and how these particular species are doing.
So that's a really difficult question. I'm a senior postdoc over at University College Cork, and I'm on the CETUS and Flapper project. So the basis of my work is to look for hotspots of different animals above and below water. So I manage the Shark, Skate and Ray program. So we're using a range of tools from our tracking technology to see where are the animals in Irish waters, and also why are they here? So my particular interest in our mermaid's purses or our eggs is how are the animals using this space? So in particular, I'm looking at the Flapper Skate. So the Flapper Skate is the largest saltwater skate in the world, and this can measure up to 2.85 meters from the tip of its snout to the end of its tail. And it's really slow to mature, it's incredibly long-lived, and it produces very few of these eggs that it lays, and which are 18 months of sat on the seabed, really vulnerable to any kind of disturbance.
That's not very good then for increasing the numbers of the species, I presume.
They do feel the effect of different types of pressures. So our Flapper Skate used to be grouped under common skate complex, and we now know from genetics these are two different species. So we're kind of having to relearn our knowledge of both, the blue skate and the flapper. The flapper is larger, that's the easiest way to tell it apart. Its eggs as well, they look very different to our blue skate egg. Flapper skates aren't doing too well, I'm afraid. So they used to have a pretty good distribution, meaning we'd find them in a lot of different places. Now we have a few hot spots around Irish waters. So we have.
Why are they not doing so well then?
So due to unsustainable commercial fishing pressure in the 18th and 19th century, they were being caught and they were being killed. And since 2009, we've known they're not doing too well, and there's now regulation. So in the European Union, you cannot catch and kill this animal anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's since 2009, and we're now seeing there are a few hotspots where we can find them. So really I'm trying to understand how are they using the space, like off County Cork in Cork McSherry Bay. We have an area where we have a good number of animals, but there's really not that many left in a global sense.
So what's your research entailing here in County Cork?
So off County Cork, we're working with our coastal communities, particularly in Cork McSherry, to understand where the flapper skate are in relation to our waters and how they're using the space. So I'm using tracking tools. It's kind of like putting a Fitbit on a big animal.
Right.
And we're then tracking their movements in and out of the bay.
So you have to catch the animals first?
We do. So we're working with local angling operators, which, to be honest with you, are far better anglers than I am. And they're catching these animals for us. We're attaching our Fitbits internally or externally to the animal, and we've then been tracking their movements. So this project's now been going for 2 years. We have another year left on the horizon to try and piece together how long are the animals in this area and maybe what are they up to. So this is why we're asking for members of the public to report their mermaid's purses along the beach. A good rule of thumb, I would say, is that our really rare skate eggs, that's our white skate and our flapper skate,
They
would be bigger than your hand. So these eggs are incredibly large. They're very well disguised amongst the strand line, amongst your seaweed. And we're asking for anyone to report their eggs to Purse Search Ireland, which is run by Marine Dimensions. This is a project that's trying to gather community science records. If you find any of those animals' egg cases along the strand line, you can look up on the Marine Institute website. They have some really nice guides to help you pick which species or type of animal that came from. Equally, if you're unsure, you can just email in or search the sighting and report this to Marine Dimensions. That's marinedimensions.ie. And we're working with them to try and improve the number of records around our coastlines.
And of course, it's all right then for the public to take these old egg cases from the beach because they're of no use to the animal anymore.
Exactly. So I would encourage, if you find an egg case along the beach and it's empty, you'd know that pretty quickly. They're very light, they're see-through. So if you look up, hopefully it's a sunny day, You look up, you would see the egg case is empty. And then you take that home. It's easiest if you put them in some kind of water. So I just fill a bowl with salt water or fresh water, whatever you have available. And the animal's egg case will swell in size. Makes it a lot easier to use the identification guides to see what animal you have.
Now, you've been doing this research for a number of years now. Can you tell us what have you learned so far?
Well, things are still in the works. So the CETUS project has been running for 2 years and the Flapper Skate project for one. So we have tagged 37 animals with our little Fitbits.
That's a good number of animals.
This is a very good number, because bear in mind there are very few of these animals left in the world. So there's actually, they're doing worse than snow leopards. And if you think snow leopards are giant pandas, These animals are iconic, they're long-lived, and they really need our support to understand how they're using this space in order to better understand their movements and effectively to conserve and manage them in the future.
What's the reaction from the public when they see you going along the beach picking up these mermaid's purses?
People are always very interested. This is something that we have around us, and many of us have actually seen, but we don't really know what they are. So it's an opportunity to engage with folks and to ask them again to report these take these home, maybe get your family involved. If you have kids, they will love this as an alternative Easter egg hunt. And these are found year round, so it's really an all round Easter egg hunt. So you can report these mermaid's purses to marinedimensions.ie. On their website, they have a sightings form. So you can just go in there. Anyone can contribute to really understanding these animals better in Irish waters.
And we'll put all that information up on our website. Danielle, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks very much indeed, Terry Flanagan. Now, a few weeks ago, an email came into mooney@rte.ie from Tom Owens, who is a listener, very concerned about the erosion of the dune system off the west coast of Ireland, which he says are suffering tremendously over the past decade or so. Increased frequency and power of storms during the winter are having an enormous impact on these ecosystems. This is often exacerbated by human activity during the summer months. Tom is particularly concerned about Barley Cove in County Cork, where he says the beachfront is retreating at a shocking rate. And he also cites the volunteer-led dune restoration project at Maharees as an example of what can be done to help. Now, the Maharees is on the northern side of the Dingle Peninsula. The naturalist and broadcaster Dick Warner, the late Dick Warner, was there in 1990 making a documentary for RT Radio 1. Here's a clip from Dick's documentary, Swan Song of a Toad.
The sea created this land. A long finger of sand dunes pointing into the Atlantic. The Maharees Peninsula. Came down here for a bit of a break. A chance to lie my back in the sun and enjoy a landscape where humanity isn't always in the foreground. I like the big sky and the ocean surf and the sandhills. And it's all working out fine till I gave a lift in my car to a woman who turned out to be a biologist who was fond of toads.
Well, I was doing postgraduate studies on the frog at UCG with Kieran McCarthy in the late 70s, early 80s. And we realised that there has been very little work done on the toad. And there had been a paper published in the 70s just giving some new information on the distribution. So we decided that we'd come down and have a look around and see what the story is with the toad.
So how do you start? How do you find your first toad when you come down to a place you've never been to before?
Well, we came down first in the breeding season, and that's always the best time to locate amphibians because they come together to breed and they make a lot of noise when they're calling. And that's what we did. We just went to areas where we knew there were ponds.
And listened?
Yeah.
Would we be able to hear some of that?
Yes, we should, yeah. The weather is very warm and it's at the right time of the year, the end of April, early May, and we shouldn't have any problem in finding them.
So we could do that this evening?
Yes, we could.
Wonderful stuff. The late, great Dick Warner.